All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, good evening. This is American Vindicta. I am your host, Doug Thornton. So we're going to get straight into it tonight. We're going to talk about how to prepare for an economic collapse. I think we are at the time and stage within our country that we need to start taking this matter more serious. Currently, we see the Biden administration seems to be targeting our economy for whatever reason. He is now coming after our oil reserves. So eventually, when we don't have the oil to pump through the refineries to make the gas and diesel and petroleum byproducts, we are going to have to be outsourced even more from other countries, which is going to make everything else skyrocket. You can already see from the gas prices and from the food prices that we are in a bit of a problem right now, especially for this soon-to-be-upcoming 2020 Thanksgiving. Expect the unexpected during an economic collapse. If we don't have an economy, that means we don't have a normal way of life anymore. Now, we'll still have an economy to some extent, but if we get drove down to the point that we are below 5 or 6 on the economic world level, and the IMF completely reverses the world standing of the petrol dollar and gives it to China, we will be in a world of hurt. I've said this before and I'll say it again. China is waiting in the fog of war right now. They are waiting to be the number one currency in the world in order for them to challenge us militarily. And when that happens, many of our so-called allies will not be on our side. And we will be surprised, some of us, by who decides not to come to the rallying cry to protect America. And it doesn't mean necessarily that China will be storming our beaches, or it doesn't mean necessarily that we'll have a Red Dawn event. Not yet. If China is smart, once our economy tanks and millions of people lose their job, thousands of different types of stores and mom-and-pop shops and even big-box stores start closing, and you have to go to regional areas that are within the big urban cities where there will still always be money and sources of power in order to get your produce, in order to get your goods. Well, that's going to put quite the hindrance on the American working class. When the American working class is not working, what will they be doing? What do you do when you don't have the ability to put food on your table? What do you do when you don't have the ability anymore to fill up your gas tank or to fill up the diesel? It'll be hard to charge that fancy sports car that you got in your, you know, that Tesla that you got, if you can't pay the light bill anymore. And don't think this can't happen whenever we have cities that can no longer pay their light bill and start turning off the power to suburbs or to sections of cities in order to conserve power output. We've already seen this partially in California. For whatever reason, they still do it. Now, imagine in this dystopian future of ours, when we have an economic collapse, and you hear many of the professionals speak about this, I don't think I would consider myself a professional when we talk about economic collapse. I think I would consider myself to be one of the victims, like everyone else who's listening. So I'm telling you now what it is that I would do to prepare, what it is that I would be thinking about during an economic collapse, and what I would be concerned about. Now, I'm not afraid, and I'll say that again, I am not afraid. The Lord has not given me a spirit of fear, but He has given me sound judgment. And I am listening to the wise men. I am listening to the watchmen on the walls who are calling out the crimes of the Biden administration and telling America, repent and prepare. Bad times are coming. Now, I'm not a crazy conspiracy theorist. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to happen regardless of whether or not we like it. The Democrats and some of our Republican friends have agreed to torpedo the American working class and to torpedo our economy. And we will not recover from this. How do we recover from almost $50 trillion in debt anyways? Just think what will happen whenever we have no real economy to push back on that debt anymore. God help us that day. So let's move on. Let's talk about the basics. What do you do to prepare? Well, just like any basic survival situation, you need to worry about a few things. And really, you need to focus on just a few things. You need to focus on your food, your water, the fuel that you'll need for either cooking elements or for your vehicles. You'll need to worry about what type of money to have on hand. You're probably going to have to worry about shelter as well if you lose your home. So this may be a big community thing. This may be us going back to the 1900s and the 1800s where families were living on farms together, working the farm together, and pooling resources together in order to survive. That's not uncommon. There are still places like that around the world. But in America, we live very differently. We have such an amazing society and an amazing economy that we can live via ourselves and not have to depend or rely upon anyone because you have an established group of people who will make your produce, who will process it, and who will sell it for you, who will also grow it, who will butcher it. So, I mean, you know, it's not that hard to live in America, and there are tons of jobs out there. But when we have no economy and we have no jobs, how effective is the American dream now? So, food. What kind of food? Well, we do have sponsors on this show for food. Ready-made resources, and that is one form of food that you can have. You can have long-lasting, good-tasting food that you would only have to prepare by boiling water. But if you can't afford that, I'm here to tell you that there are other options out there. Now, you can do this the Dollar General way, and you can go to your local grocery store or Dollar General or Family Dollar, and you can buy your Vienna sausage and your ham and your Spam. God, I hate that stuff. You can buy your canned food, your perishables. You can buy rice. I strongly suggest to buy rice because it's a good form of quick, fast sugars, and it will help filling out the caloric intake that you'll need. It's a good supplement for your food. Now, the other thing is, you'll need dog food. You may need cat food, goldfish food, whatever for your animals. But if you're like me and you live on a farm, your chicken feed, your dog feed, your horse feed, your cattle feed, you're going to have to find out another way to do that. So you're going to have to invest in gardening. Gardening, which is how you will be growing food in order to feed your livestock. And that takes a lot of food. That takes a lot of land. You may not have that. So consider that if you're a small-time farmer. And consider that if you're a big-time rancher. Luckily, the ranchers have the range normally within the ranches. So, work together on that one if you have to. If you are someone who is stuck in an apartment complex or a condo and you just don't want to move or you just can't move, then you need to understand that as you are stocking up on food and people see when the economic collapse hits 3 to 4 months deep into it that you haven't lost gross amounts of weight, that your clothes aren't baggy looking and your face isn't gaunt. That means you're eating. And if they're smelling food coming from your kitchen, you're going to put a target on your back. Now, I know in America we shouldn't think like that, but desperate times create desperate people, especially if you're a parent. So just keep that in mind. So we're going to move on to the next one, water. Keep water on hand. You need to keep enough water on hand to help with processing your food, so cooking your food. You need to keep enough water on hand for your hygienic responsibilities, so for bathing. And you'll need enough water on hand for consumption. You know, during a economic collapse, it may be one of those things where you have lost gross amounts of weight, you're having to do more manual laborious jobs in order to get some sort of a payment. You may just be huddled up in your residence and trying to wait it out because you lost your job and there's no one else hiring. So have enough food, have enough water for what you think you should prepare for. I'm here to tell you that you should have a minimum of 6 months of food, a bare minimum of 6 months of food. And that is 6 months of food for you and for every person in your household. And if you're one of these people who say, well, if prophecy hits the fan, me and my buddies are going to meet up somewhere and then we'll just ride it out. That's good. That's great. And I encourage that. That's the way you should be thinking. But if only one person brings the food and there's three or four of you there, what do you do then? So if you do have a plan like that, make sure everybody is on board. If it's just you, bring double the amount of food. You never know when you may need a barter. You never know when your food may spoil. You just never know. Expect the unexpected. Expect Murphy's Laws. The moment you think you have everything planned, you get struck. You get hit right in the face. And then, after you get knocked down, it's up to you to stand up, to shake yourself off, and to prepare for that next hit. So if you buy a crap load of food and half of it is spoiled because during your time of shopping you didn't see the expiration date, buy enough food. These things happen. These mistakes will happen. They've happened to me before. They will happen. Now, a lot of the preparedness food that you can find in these stores are extremely expensive. There are other ways. You can buy huge jars of peanut butter. You can also buy the huge bags of mixed nuts that also has like the little M&Ms and chocolates in it. Take all that, mix it all in together. It's a sweet treat which helps soothe the soul, soothe the mind, appease the taste buds, but it applies a little bit of calories and good fats and sugars for whenever you're in between meals, one or two spoonful, and you should be fine as long as you can pace yourself. Whenever I was in the Marine Corps, one of the things that I used to do during long movements or during long training venues is I would have a jar of peanut butter and I would put mixed nuts in there along with a little bit of M&Ms, and I would eat that with a spoon here and there to help keep up my caloric intake and to help give me those quick sugar rushes that I needed for my insulin spike. I needed those things for the protein also, but it helped also with the fat. So my body's able to produce better because I wasn't on an empty stomach constantly. Now, here's another thing. I'm gonna stop talking about food. During this time of an economic collapse, I want you to start to practice now for this intermittent fasting. So what intermittent fasting is, it means you are going to go as long as possible not eating during the day and then break your fast, let's say at around 2 or 3 or noon, depending on how you are, if you can medically do this. Not only will this help to expunge yourself of unneeded body fat and poisons in your body, but it's something that you can discipline yourself to not ingest so much food and to make your food last a little bit longer during an economic collapse, during a emergency situation. Eat when you feel hungry. When your body says, I'm hungry, it's time to eat, that is when you eat. But if you can pound water, if you can walk it off, if you can ignore it, find something to do, you will make your food rations last a little bit longer. And for those of us that are adults, if you have children, this is going to be especially needful for your form of preparation. Me as the father, I am going to be the last one that eats after the food is cooked. My children eat first, then it's my wife, and then it's myself. And I get whatever I get, okay? Because my children need that caloric intake because their little bodies are constantly burning through calories and they're growing. They need it more than I do. So I have enough body fat residual on me that I could probably last a good month, maybe month and a half of intermittent fasting until I need to start breaking my fast here and there so that I need a little bit more food every day. But those are some of the caloric intake things that I can supplement through hunting or through fishing or through foraging. I don't always want to go straight to my food stubs. So we've hit food, we've hit water. Make sure you have sources to purify your water. There are all different kinds of things out there to purify our water. You have the Big Berkey water filter, which is the thing that I have. It's amazing. It works really, really well. They're not a sponsor of mine, but I've used Big Berkey for about 3 years now, and I'm actually highly impressed. It's a little complicated at first to get the thing put together, but after that, man, the thing works really great. It's a gravity-fed water filtration system, and you know, it's one of those things that I'm glad I bought. I'm glad I spent the $1,000 on the one that I bought because I can process up to 30 gallons a day through this device. Now, that is plenty of water for me, for my neighbors. I can barter with clean water. I can purchase goods with clean water when the times get tough enough. And don't think they can't. People will kill you over clean water, not just food. So make sure you also have fuel on hand. Make sure that you have fuel extenders in case you need that as well. These are all things you can buy at the box store, a fuel extender. Get gasoline, get your gas cans. I always try to keep one tank worth of gas that is just set aside that if, you know, something bad happens, if the grid goes down, if the economy goes kaput, I can at least refill my truck one time. So I know my truck gets 400 miles of the gallon. If it's completely empty, I can have at any point in time a 400 mile range with my vehicle to go and get goods, to go and gather intel, to check out my area of operations. Because during a crap hit the fan scenario, your area of operations, the place of your movement, will be as far as your gas tank will take you and as far as you feel comfortable from going away from your base of operations, which will be more than likely your home, a buddy's house, a ranch, a deer lease, etc. So consider that. We will get on to the money and the different forms of money after a word from our sponsor.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals, been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. 586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
Okay, and we're back. I highly encourage everyone to please contact Steve Quayle. Get some sort of precious metals, because that's something that we're about to talk to when it comes to preparing for a economic collapse. This is American Vindicta. I am your host, Doug Thornton. So, money on hand. What kind of money do I need on hand during an economic collapse? Well, you got to consider that when the dollar collapses, the dollar will not be worth a dollar. The dollar is not worth a dollar right now anyways. However, how much will the cash that you could pull out of the ATM or out of your bank or the cash you have in your wallet or at your house, how much will that be worth if you have to go to a marketplace and purchase goods? It may hold its value still for the first month. Maybe. Okay? Now, that will depend on people's faith in the dollar and how fast the U.S. government can come back from an economic collapse, and just what type of an economic collapse it could be. If it is a complete utter collapse, I don't know, you may be 6 months before you see anything happen to the dollar. So your dollar may quickly lose value and not regain it for half a year or up to a year. Look at Zimbabwe, Mogadishu. So, you know, they're, Rhodesia, there's a lot of places, Iraq, Afghanistan, Russia, China for a while. There are a lot of places out there that have completely lost their currency. Look at the Mexican peso is another one of them. And it will suck when you have to work your normal job and you only get a quarter to a half of what you normally would net because the dollar is so atrociously devalued. So you have the ability to have precious metals for that form of funding, which is your gold, your silver, your platinum, your palladium. You know, I would tell you not to go too far into the extremes of precious metals. People understand what gold is. People understand what silver is. Hopefully during economic collapse, if the dollar is hit that bad, you will have the ability to still use your silver and your gold as an accurate form of currency, which means that wherever you go, they should be putting up for the day what gold is worth compared to the U.S. dollar. Now, that's if it's accurate, and that's if it's even being looked upon. Some places just may not accept it, or some places just straight up may think of it as it's a quarter or it's a dollar, and that's all I'm going to allow you to use it with. And that's going to piss off a lot of people and make a lot of people mad, because not everybody's going to be on board with using precious metals as a source of currency. I mean, right now, looking on Kitco Live, gold is worth $1,791.80. Silver is worth $23.51. Platinum was worth $975, and these are all an ounce, okay? Palladium, $1,822 an ounce. So you can have these things saved up, and you can pay them by an ounce. You can buy gold fractionally. It's something that I actually do. I do own some. Very few, because I'm not rich by any means. I do own some ounces of gold, but also have a dime's worth, a nickel's worth, a quarter's worth when it comes to the size comparison of gold. So, you know, 600, 800, 1,000, and then the full price of an ounce. And that's one form of payment, because what you would hate to do is, you know, go to the grocery store and all you have is your 1 ounce gold bar. And you didn't buy $1,790 worth of goods, and you can't get that back. Or if you do, they say, well, we can give that back to you in American currency, and you just, and, well, that's not going to help me any. I want my value back. So expect the fact that you may not get at the actual return value for the metals that you're using as your purchase power. That's going to suck, but that is reality. So, you know, just be very careful with that. You may have too much on you, and you may not get enough back in return. But also consider this, ladies and gentlemen. If you're out in the marketplace during an economic collapse, and you are flashing around ounces of gold and silver that you're pulling out of your pockets, people are going to watch. Hungry parents are going to watch you like a predator. And don't forget the criminals who are already waiting for you to go back to your car, or for you to be in a place where no one else can see, where, you know, they could just walk up and say, hey, you know, I saw you have this. Could you help me? Could you spare me a little bit? And that's when their buddy comes from behind. Do not be a soft target. Situational awareness, 360 degrees of situational awareness at all times. Don't get caught off balance. During an economic collapse, crime is going to skyrocket, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But just remember, you flashing around shiny metal, people are going to watch. I'd watch you. I'm telling you right now, I'd watch you. I'd watch you to see who else is watching you, because then now I can gauge how the crowd is going to respond based off of you. That's how you gather intel on crowds. That is live, accurate intelligence that you're gathering by watching crowds that are watching someone else. That'll tell me, well, I don't want to do what that guy's doing. Be aware of that. Also, be aware of the stock market. At any point in time, if the government wished, they can kill the stock market. They can. Terrorists or other superpowers like Russia or China or Iran, who I don't declare a superpower, but Iran, North Korea, you know, the normal subjects, even American hackers, can take down the stock market if they can find that backdoor loophole, especially if they're operating off of some sort of a Windows computer. My God. But I trust that the stock market is very, very well secured from any type of digital threat. But don't think it can't happen. It can. And it probably will one day. The government wants to own or shut down crypto. So all my friends out there who invest heavily in crypto, I have some of my buddies that I used to work with who invest very, very heavily in crypto. The government wants to destroy it, or they want to own it, and they want to be able to tax it, and they don't want you to have freedom from finding a loophole. Also consider this, during an economic collapse, digital currency may not be real currency anymore. It may have a place somewhere, but if the economy is so bad that you say, okay, well, I'll transfer some of these Doge coins to you, and I was sitting here as the guy who was selling you produce, well, I can't buy anything with Dogecoin. Why do I want? No, I'm not going to allow that as currency. You need to give me paper money, metal money, or you can barter, but I'm not taking digital. If it was me and I was selling, if I was selling something, if I was selling goods, that's what I tell you. I'm not taking digital currency, because I obviously don't have faith in my own currency. I'm not having faith in something that I can't even hold, just ones and zeros. And I'm not saying cryptocurrency is bad. I'm not against cryptocurrency at all. But in a survival situation, unless you can go to the ATM and you can withdraw the cryptocurrency, and I believe there are some out there that you can do that, but if you can't do that, it's worthless. If the power goes down, your cryptocurrency is worthless. If they shut down the power of the United States, not just the power goes out, if they effectively kill the grid, your money on your phone means nothing. Just consider that. What's a better way to prepare for the money service money part? Well, whatever you have that would be a luxury item or a luxury expense that you don't use or you don't really need or you just have it because you know everyone else has it, right? Get rid of it. I'm telling you right now, we are coming to the cusp of an economic downturn in this country. And I don't know how bad it's going to look, but I know that the petrol dollar is on the way out. It's on the way out. Maxine Waters, last year or the year before that, was trying to introduce the digital wallet, which is the U.S. government cryptocurrency, where they will tell you how much money you can have a month. You really want to wait around for that? Yeah, no thank you. No thanks, Mad Max. So if you have, and you know, guys, I'm gonna pick on you a little bit. If you got that bass boat that you just don't use anymore and it's just sitting in the dry dock, get rid of it. You're just paying for a fee now to have that boat. I know, you know, maybe three times, four times a year you may take it out and go jet skiing with it or, you know, go to a bass tournament here or there. But if you're actually not using that thing, get rid of it. Take that money and invest that money in something that you can physically own. Something that is of value, not something novel, but something that is of value, not just to you, but to someone who would buy it from you. Once again, if your currency will be something that you can purchase goods with, not baseball cards, that's not going to be an effective at maybe, but that's not really what I mean by an effective form of currency. You can't eat baseball cards. You can't eat collector's items. Don't buy a $10,000 rifle and say, well, if the economy goes bad, I'm going to sell that baby right there and get my 10 grand back. If the economy goes bad, who the hell is buying a $10,000 rifle? I'm not. I have enough rifles as it is. I would want to buy more ammo. And that's another thing. Barter. Have a skill that is worth selling to people. You can make ammo for people. People will buy ammo. You could have a butchering or a meat processing skill that you never knew you had. You know, a guy like me, I grew up processing animals. I grew up on a deer lease. I was raised around animals. And I know how to process deer and hog. I know how to process cows. I could use that skill in purchasing livestock and then butchering livestock and being able to sell that to people if the need was there and I had to do it. Or people could, you know, kill an animal, bring it to me. I process it for them if they don't know how to. I strongly recommend every hunter out there learn how to process your animals yourself. Learn the cuts for the meats yourself. Do not waste any part of that animal. Every part of that animal is valuable. Every single part of it, especially if you have animals. If you have animals you need to feed, that deer is food for those animals. Every bit of that carcass that you don't eat yourself, you should be given to your animals. Farming is one of those amazing things that I can't believe more Americans aren't doing right now. I say, get out of the big cities, get out of your expensive suburb, go out into the countryside, buy a 3 or 4 or 5 acres, go all out, buy as much as you can afford because they ain't making no more land. Buy land. Build yourself a farm. Learn how to farm. Learn the hard way. The hard way is the best way because then you don't forget it. Have the ability to grow your own food. Have the ability to have your own livestock. If you do farms the way you should be, you're farming for the preparation of an economic collapse. Then on your farm are bartering items, your vegetables, fruits, nut trees, wood from those trees, for one thing. You don't think about that, but wood from the trees. You could be harvesting your wood, splitting it, and people will come and buy that firewood. Livestock. I raise poultry. Poultry is the most frustrating, infuriating animal, because if the wind blows too hard, the damn thing gets sick. And luckily, my wife is a chicken doctor. She understands every bit of that animal. All I want to do is eat them. I like cows and I like goats. I do not care for the chickens. I do like my turkeys. I love my turkeys. My turkeys are extremely funny. But you have chickens, you have quail, you have pheasant. You can get ducks, you can get geese, and there's all different types of geese and ducks. You can get turkeys. If you're in an economic bind and it's hard for you to buy food, I have one turkey. Well, I did. I had a turkey that was about 60 pounds. The big double-breasted bourbon bronze. Huge turkey. A huge turkey. And that thing could feed probably two families, three families, if I really needed to stretch it out. So all I had to do was feed it one time a day, here or there. Other than that, the thing just foraged, and it just grew immensely. So, that is a surefire way to not sweat not being able to feed your family. At the end of the day, my goal as the husband, my goal as the father, is to provide and to protect. I have to protect my family. I have to protect my assets, which is the things that we have on our farm. And I have to be able to provide. And that was my whole goal for farming. And I see it, it has been very hard here and there. I have learned a lot of things along the way, but I would not take it back. If anything, I wish I could get more land. But everything is getting more expensive nowadays. There are less farming areas out there now. Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos bought up most of it. And don't worry, Joe Biden, if it goes through, is going to buy probably half the other acreage in the United States and turn it into some sort of a national park, or he was talking about turning it into a solar farm. The new Green Deal, taking away Americans' ability to provide for themselves. While the iron's hot, I would strike, friends. Get out of your condos. Get out of your cushy life. It won't help you in an economic collapse. It won't. That two-story, three-story home, it's not going to help you. Now, I'm not saying sell all your valuables and move out to the country in a broken-down single-wide or double-wide, but be smart about it. If you feel the need, if God is urging you, and that's the other thing, everything that I say right now, you should be going to God in prayer and asking the Lord to lead you and your family in the right direction. Don't do what I say right off the bat. I'm just giving you advice. But if you don't have God in your back corner, you are going to fail. There's a high probability you are going to fail. So be praying for God's favor and God's instruction. Be praying for discernment as to what to do. He will guide you. He will let you know. He let me know. It's been frustrating, but it hasn't failed me yet. My God has never failed me. Hallelujah. Ranching is another one. I would say that community ranching is something that you need to consider if you got your brothers and sisters and your best friends and all that cool stuff. If y'all can all go in together and buy a huge piece of land and then put your houses all throughout and work that land, raising livestock or whatever it is that you're doing, that is one way for you to establish an area of operations and borders that you can secure and patrol and have the means to have a small town basically to yourself without neighbors in the middle that are causing problems, unless it's your own family or friends who cause the problems. Don't worry, that will probably end up happening because we all get on each other's nerves. But by the grace of God, I pray that you succeed. Move out of the city. The cities are a death trap. There's a reason why we call them food deserts. There is no food grown in the cities anymore. All the food has to be imported to the suburbs. All the food has to be imported to the big urban cities. They get that food from farmers. If the farmers decide not to sell their produce and eat it, what do the cities do? What do the suburbs do? Collapse. That's what they do. They collapse. They'll collapse eventually anyways. Be prepared for physical, manual, hard work. If you lose your cushy job and you got your office that's in the corner where you can watch the squirrels play out on the fountain, if anybody can name that movie for me, there's a red stapler in it. If you lose your job because of the economy, or if you lose your job because you refuse to take a shot, you may be forced for a time to work a physical laborious job. So be physically ready for that. I strongly recommend everyone, if you haven't started it, to start it today, start it tonight. Start working out. Some way, somehow, start working out, or you're going to fail. If your body is not in good shape, you're going to fail. Even if you have some sort of lagging injury or some sort of a medical issue, you can still get your body in better shape. Intermittent fasting is one of them. Have a plan and have a backup plan if the economy crashes. If the economy crashes, and that's a big if, your backup plan needs to be as foolproof as your original plan. Plans tend to fail because we have our good friend Murphy's Law that will come and they'll check out your plan. They'll give you your approval. Yeah, man, you know, this sounds like a really good plan. Looks like you got all this really worked out, really thought through. You know, hey, what about this problem? And then something unexpected and unpredicted occurs, and that original plan goes to crap. Have a backup plan. That backup plan is your precious metals, is your stored food. That backup plan is your livestock. Those are three very effective backup plans. Stored water. Having a good community preparedness. During economic collapse, crime will increase dramatically, probably overnight. The moment they announce, and today at 5 o'clock, the U.S. dollar has been sunk all the way to number 13 or 14 on the economic scale of the world. IMF just destroyed us. People are going to freak out and panic, especially the wealthy. The wealthy think that they are cushioned. I'm here to tell you right now, all you wealthy people, your money will not buy you protection if your money means nothing. Some people don't care about money. Some people just want violence. And some people just prey upon hard times and desperate people. A lot of people are going to be out there preying on desperate, naive people who are victims of an economic collapse, and they are going to be taken advantage of. So, I mean, you don't want to be the guy that, you know, you need baby formula, and then come to find out half your baby formula is flour because you got tricked and you still paid the guy. Be smart. If you have an infant, be smart. Be prepared. Baby formula is expensive. I have a toddler right now, my fourth child. I understand how expensive diapers are and clothes are, toys are. I understand how expensive baby formula is. I went to go get baby formula the other day, and the one that we use is like $30 for a can. I remember when it was close to $20. And things are only going to get more expensive. A desperate time creates desperate people, and never underestimate the depravity of man. The moment you think people couldn't sink low enough, the moment you think people couldn't be more animalistic, they will surprise you. After they've looted the Dollar General, they set it on fire. Why? Just because. Because there's crimes of opportunity. In every crowd of desperate people, there's a sociopath. And amongst every sociopath, there's a psychopath. That's the crowd that you're moving into when you're going in and out of these stores during an economic collapse. There's someone out there who's just waiting to be the next active shooter because they know that, hey, law enforcement's not coming. Emergency services aren't here. More than likely, more people will be carrying than ever, though. More than likely, more people will be carrying protection than ever. And I would strongly recommend that. I strongly recommend you apply the Second Amendment's ability to protect yourself in this country, and you do it today. You do it tomorrow. Do not be caught in a war zone without a gun. Especially if you have a family. Especially if you have things that you need to protect, like yourself and your family and your land and your food and your water, your livestock, your gold, your silver, your cars, your trucks, your tractors, your fruit trees that you have in the back, your three chickens you got in your backyard. Everything is of value. Everything has a form of value, especially to a thief. Rioting will probably become a new normal, but not for social justice warriors, but instead for food rations. Food rations that the government will be handing out, which will be limited, more than likely. The government rations, for as long as they are given, and in only certain areas where you have to drive to it, they'll be limited. I remember growing up during Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Rita, and we had to go see the National Guard and FEMA because we were on our family's ranch, and we were having to drive an hour to go and fill up gas because all the power was out for about 2 or 3 weeks. For starters, it took 2 days worth of cutting down trees with chainsaws and axes just to get out of the country road and onto the highway. Once again, be prepared, right? Be prepared. And when we got to town, there was about a 6-hour wait to fill up your gas tank. And by the time we got there, you could only fill up half your gas tank. You had to go and get food and water, MREs, from the National Guard. And they ran out. People get mad. There's no food. People get mad. People will kill each other over a can of tuna. And speaking of preparing for food, stand by for our next word from our sponsor.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position. Really, for the first time in our history, we're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Okay, and we're back. Thank you for joining us on American Vindicta. For the beginning of the show, we have been talking about how to prepare for an economic collapse. We touched on food, water, we touched on precious metals, we touched on the ability, you know, to barter. Learn skills that you need that you can use during a during an economic collapse, during any type of survival situation. Have the ability to have head knowledge that people will want and that they can, you know, barter items with you or food. That's going to be a very big deal for people. Also, you know, if you have that type of head knowledge, especially for stuff like basic maintenance stuff, you can take care of your own equipment too. And not have to reach out to other people. So that's a very good skill to have. When we went to the commercial, we were talking about rioting. And we were talking about food rations from the government. More than likely, you're not going to get the proper amount of nutritional needs that you will want or will need by the government. And it won't be there for very long because the government still has to sustain itself and still has to sustain its security forces, which would be, you know, federal law enforcement, federally contracted guard forces, the military, themselves and their families, because trust me, they will take care of themselves and their families. Politicians will always take care of themselves first. So do please consider that. I don't hold it against people for rioting and being upset when the economy failed because our politicians are to blame for it. However, it will not matter when a stampede happens and people get trampled because the National Guard says they only have one box of MREs left. Or, you know, you can only fill up a couple more times with your gas tank before there's no gas in this region, and it's an unknown amount of time until you get a resupply for that fuel, or for the food, or for the water, or for the medicine. Medicine's another thing during an economic collapse. Make sure you have medicine on hand. I get asked all the time, well, what do I do about doctor-prescribed medicine? Lately in this country, we have really sucked at taking care of each other, especially you doctors that may or may not be listening right now. I would tell you that if you have any type of medical need, seek out to your doctor, explain to them your concerns, and see how much they will give you. And if they won't, go to another doctor. Keep going until you find the one sympathetic doctor who understands the dire stress this country is in. I pray you will find a doctor who actually cares. Because a lot of the doctors I've seen, a lot of doctors I've taken care of, I've all asked them, hey, if I need a prescribed medicine, how much could I get? They almost always say a month. A month goes by very fast, my friends, especially if you're having to take insulin injections. Your life lives on a timeline then. Or heart medication. Be prepared for the unsuspected deaths in your family. That's a very, very hard thing to say. but that is very, very real. Bad things are going to happen. Some things are unavoidable. Many things are avoidable if you prepare now. If you take the time to spend the money correctly, to save the money correctly, some things can be avoided. Some people will go through an economic collapse and their life will change very little, either because they are the ultra rich or they are very prepared and they live a very simple Spartan life, which is what I would tell you to start adapting a Spartan lifestyle. That means getting used to the basics, learning how to make advanced achievements with the basic necessities of things, which means you have to learn skills and how to make more out of the flour than just, you know, a little clump of dough as a biscuit. You have to learn these skills, like carpentry is another really good one. Learn how to build things. You may have to repair your own home or your own vehicle. Be prepared. It takes a community to be very prepared. I would stress that if you're in a small town and you can go to your city council, say, hey, I want to know, what is my community preparedness? What is your plan? Because we all saw from 2020 with COVID, there was almost no plan for every single small town and big city in America. And we are the toughest, best country in the world, and we did not have an answer for it. We do not have an answer, ladies and gentlemen, for an economic collapse. Go and find out if your leaders that you vote for, who take care of your economy, who also take care of your town, go find out. See what they have in plan. And if they don't have anything, start researching plans. Start researching things that can help a community prepare for an economic collapse. It may take a bunch of y'all together to pull something out, but at least you'll have a plan. At least you'll have a playbook. At least you've saved up something as a community. At least you've pulled in all the police, all the fire department, all the doctors, all the EMS, the feed stores, the grocery stores, your power supply company from the county. Have a plan, your water purification plan. Have a plan, because when prophecy hits the fan, it is too late to start preparing. Don't be unprepared. America, keep praying. Keep reaching out to God. Ask God to protect you and your family. As we come up on this Thanksgiving, I hope all of you are in the favor of God and you are prepared for an economic collapse. And if not, please prepare. Thank you for listening. This is American Vindicta. Out. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.